So you'll notice we actually have the top of the page this week. I have no explanation for that. The daf is kaf vav amud aleph and amud beis of that one doesn't have the top. Yeah, maseches tanis. You'll have to take your word for me that they are connected to each other. And we'll start with the Mishnah. This is from the beginning of the the beginning of the fourth parak of maseches tanis. The Mishnah is super long. We're not going to read the whole Mishnah. This is in regular Mishnayot. It's divided up. We're looking at the page that's like cut off in the middle. So, Mishnah says as follows: the beginning of the fourth parak of Tanis. B'shlosha prakim b'shana kohanim nosen eskapen arba pa'amim bayom. There are three times during the year, 3 days during the year, when the kohanim do berachas kohanim four times during the day. Four times a day. When? When during the day? B'shachris, b'mosaf, b'mincha, or b'ne'ilas sha'arim. They do it at shachris, they do it at musaf, they do it at mincha, and they do it at ne'ila. So it's going to kind of already tell you which days this is going to include. B'ta'anios, u'b'ma'amados, u'b'yom ha'kippurim. This is not actually three distinct days. It's several days. The first is Tanis. Now, we nowadays don't do ne'ila on a regular fast day, but they used to. They used to do an ilah. It was a tefillah that used to do every single tanis, or at least on certain tanis.
We don't do this either.
That's true. We're going to get to that later. And then the ma'amados and the ma'amad. We're going to get to what that is in a second. And then, of course, on Yom Kippurim, that's obvious to everybody, where we actually do have all four of those tefillahs. Eilen ma'amados. What are ma'amados? Does anybody know what they are?
The watches.
Right. What happens there?
If I remember correctly, these were the Israelim that would accompany the...
Exactly. So the Kohanim had, obviously they had Mishmaros. They had, certain days that each family of the Kohanim, where they were in charge. It was broken up throughout the year. Each group would get a week. So as they switched off, between them, well, further to that, you had the Kohanim who were on duty, you had the Levim who were on duty, and then you also had Yisraelim who were on duty. The Yisraelim also had a responsibility to kind of stop what they were doing and be involved in some way in the Korbanos. If you look at Rashi, he says, Elu hen ma'amados hamit anin mitpalalin ba'areim sheitkabel barason korban acheim kedilakamim. They basically were assigned a shift to fast and pray that the korbanos of the kohanim of that shift should get that their tefilos would be accepted. Those were the ma'amados.
Is that different to the mishmaros?
The mishmaros is a reference to the, well, mishmaros could mean the times during the day, meaning like the nighttime, like the mishmaros, or it could be that you're referring to the kohanim, like mishmaros. These are the ma'amados. That's usually for the Yisraelim. What is the Torah? Because it says, "Lefi shenemar tzavis ben Yisrael korbani lachmi v'chiyach korbano shel adam kariv v'hu eino omed al gabav." It's supposed to be that this is the korban tamid, which is representative of all of Bnei Israel. How could it be korbano shel adam? It says korbani lachmi. It's korbano shel adam, and he's not even involved at all. It's the korban belongs to this person in Bnei Israel, but he's not involved at all in the korban. He's not even there. He's not even thinking about it. How could it be? Rather, hitkinu neviim arishonim esrim va'arba'a mishmaros al kol mishmar mishmar hayamamad b'Yerushalayim shal kohanim shal neviim shal Yisraelim higia zman mishmar. Whenever the zman of your mishmar came, la'alos kohanim uleviim olim liYerushalayim v'Yisrael shabozam mishmar miskansin la'arein v'korid v'masa bereishis. Every mishmar, so the Kohanim and the Levim who were involved in that mishmar would go to Yerushalayim, and they would do their business there. The Kohanim would do their business there with the Korbanos. The Yisraelim would be home, and they would have their assigned. They would be assigned to fasting and praying in a special way for their Kohanim. Like it was like almost like an adopt a Kohen type of thing, right? Each segment of the Jewish population would be assigned that mishmar, that ma'amad, in order to pray specially for the Kohanim. Yeah?
Um,
what would they do when they would gather in their cities? So they would read Ma'aseh Bereishis. They would read from the Torah. Ma'aseh Bereishis. We'll read the inside of the parentheses. Anshei ha-ma'amar hayu mis'anin arba ayamim b'shavua miyom beiz v'adom chamishi. They actually fasted for 4 days, from Monday until Thursday. V'lo ayu mis'an, meaning all week. It's almost like Ramadan. It's like for these people, it's an extended time. It's only a week, but it's a lot. V'layu mis'anim erev Shabbos, they covered Shabbos, but they didn't fast on Friday because of covered Shabbos. You're not allowed to fast on Friday. We do have fasts that conceivably come out on Fridays, but we don't regular fast on Fridays. So Abitavis can come out on a Friday. V'loy misan erev Shabbos, may cover Shabbos. V'lo be'echad b'Shabbos, k'day shalo yitzer mi'minucha, v'oneg li'yigia v'tanis v'yamusa. And also on Sunday. They didn't fast on Sunday. Why? Because they would have a big meal on Shabbos, so they didn't want to fast on Sunday because then it would be very painful. Now, we don't observe. We do fast on Sundays. This year we're going to fast on Sunday. Tisha B'Av and Shavuot Aser B'Tavis are both going to come out on Shabbos and be nidcha to Sunday. But that in itself, by the way, makes it more makel. B'yom Rishon Bereishis, they would read each day. B'yom Rishon Bereishis v'hi rakia. B'sheni hi rakia v'ikav v'amayim. B'shlishi ikav v'amayim v'him ha'oros. B'raviyi hi'im oros v'ishtutsu v'amayim. B'chamishi yishtutsu v'amayim v'totze aretz. B'shishi v'totze aretz v'yachul ha'shamayim. Parsha gedola korinosa b'shna. Okay. It goes on to say that they would read each person, each day they would read that day's creation, story of creation. We'll skip past this for a second because now it's going to tell us about the families and what each family did and when they were assigned. We'll skip all the way to the bottom of the page in Yoni Dioma. Two lines up from the bottom of the page. Everybody see? Chamisha Dvarim Iru Esav Oseinu V'Shivasar V'Tamuz. Five things happened on Shivasar V'Tamuz coming up on Sunday. V'Chamisha V'Tisha B'Av. Five on each one. And there's a tradition that it's connected the Aseret HaDibros, five and five. V'Shivasar B'Tamuz Nishtabru HaLuchos. The Luchos of Bris were broken, right? Mm-hmm. We've done this before, the chronology over here, right? Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai on what day of the year? Well, right, 6, 7, 7, right? Right. And then 40 days later was Shivasar B'Tamuz. Then he comes down Shivasar B'Tamuz, he breaks the Luchos. 40 days after Shivasar B'Tamuz is Rosh Chodesh Elul, right? Which is when he prayed for those 40 days. Right? It's three 40-day things, 120 days. He was on Har Sinai for 40 days, he prayed for 40 days, then he went back up on Rosh Chodesh Elul. 40 days later is Yom Kippur. That's the last time he came down. Right? It's 40, 40, 40. It all works out. What? Say again? It is, depending on how many days are in the Chodesh. Yeah. If they're all chaser, so it's 29 days in each month. It could be that,
Oh, 29 and 11.
No, I think
17 and 11.
So?
18 to 29.
You have a 12
and a
29
is 41.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just about.
We're going with it.
Okay,
right.
Yes,
yeah, fine. It could be that there was a day in between. I don't know. So that was the first thing that happened on Shavuot.
And went back up the next day. Yeah.
No, he didn't. Well, whether he went back up or whether he stayed down and prayed from down there.
He went up 40.
Well, I mean, we know he did certain things on that day, right? He fed them the eagle. Fed them the eagle hazav. He did other things. So, yeah. But those are the cutoff days. Okay, that was the first thing that happened. He broke the Luchos of Bris. Ubatol HaTamid, that was the day also that the Tamid, right, the Korban Tamid stopped being broken. It stopped being brought. It was discontinued. There's two views about whether this is during the Mikdash Rishon or the Mikdash Sheni. The Yerushalmi assumes that it was during the Mikdash Rishon. No, the Yerushalmi has these two opinions, whether it was during the first Mikdash or the second Mikdash. You probably remember the story about the pig, right? They brought the pig up, the pig was going up, and somewhere in Gittin, the pig was going up, and then it stuck its hooves into the walls of the Beis Mikdash, and then the whole land trembled. Different stories. So this was the day that the Korban Tamid in the Beis Mikdash stopped. V'huvka ha'ir, and that's the day also of the beginning of the siege. Right, the Saraf Afostomos as a Torah. Afostomos was a Greek general who burned a Sefer Torah. Tradition says that it was actually one of the Sefer Torah of Ezra HaSofer, which is really important Sefer Torah. The Hemi Tzelim beHeichal, and Menashe put a Tzelim in the Heichal. This is already going into the time of Tanakh itself. So those were the five things. That was Shivasa B'Tamos. Then you have Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av Nigzal B'Seinu Sholi Kantu La'aretz. That was the day of Chet HaMeraglim, right? That was the day after Chet HaMeraglim, when we were crying, and Hashem said, you know, I'll give you something to cry about. That's Tisha B'Av. But more than that, Chara Bayis Rishona U'Bishnia, it was the day of the destruction of the first and the second Beis HaMikdash. V'Nilkada Beitar, and it was also the encircling of Beitar. V'Nechrasha Ha'ir, and it was plowed under. Okay, so those are the five things from Tisha B'Av. You got Chet HaMeraglim, the first and the second Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. Nilkada Beitar is the fourth, and then I guess Nechrasha Ha'ir is the...
Which is Ha'ir?
That was Yerushalayim.
Yerushalayim.
That's Yerushalayim.
So how's that different from the Korban HaMikdash?
Those are different things. Those are two different things. They didn't plow it under the day that they destroyed it. We know that.
So whenever.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Okay, different from.
Yeah. It was plowed under by Turnus Rufus, which was, it would be later.
When was Chetah again?
What do you mean when?
What day?
Tisha B'Av.
Does it say Chetah again?
Yeah, that's what it says when it says. Nigzal Abaseinu Shalei Kansu La'aretz. I mean, it could be a day before, but.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Chetah Meraglim. So you said Chet HaMeraglim. No, Chet HaEgel is on Shivas V'Tamos. I got confused what you were asking. Shivas V'Tamos, that's what he said. That's when Nishtabru HaLuchos. That's the first thing he said. When the Luchos were broken. So you have Shivas V'Tamos is Chet HaEgel, and Tisha B'Av is Chet HaMeraglim, the two, bad days.
You're a part though,
right? Chet HaEgel and Chet HaMeraglim.
So it's about turning the back away from where it's.
Yes. Yes, because Chet HaEgel was it was 49 days after they left Mitzrayim, and then you had, they built the Mishkan,
yeah,
which was the next Nisan, so it was at least a year. So that's Tisha B'Av. Then it says Mishenechnas Av Matin Besimcha. This is the parallel of Mishenechnas Adar. This makes it into Shulchan Aruch. Now, all this said, you'll notice that it's Mishenechnas Av. It doesn't say anything about anything before Mishenechnas Av. This is from Rosh Chodesh Av. We should start to lessen our Simcha. It doesn't say how. Then Shabbat Shechal Tisha B'Av Liot Betucha. The week of Tisha B'Av Shavua Shechal Bo Asur Milasaper Milachabes. You're not allowed to get a haircut, you're not allowed to do laundry. U'b'chamishi mutarin mitin kavod Shabbos. But if it's a Thursday, right, then you're allowed, because of kavod Shabbos, this is talking about, I believe it's talking only about the laundry, if I remember correctly, and not about getting a haircut. Yes, it's only talking about the laundry. Probably Rashi says it also. Yeah. Rashi says, "Im chal tisha b'av ba'erev Shabbos mutarin l'chabes b'chamishi, u'shchal tisha b'av b'dalad b'Shabbos lo itzrich l'misni d'mutarin k'darmin b'gemara lo shana l'lefanav." This is talking about if Tisha B'Av is after that, meaning it's if Tisha B'Av is the next week. Let's say it's on that Sunday or something like that. Now, we of course are much more machmir than the Gemara. We have Ashkenazim have 3 weeks, right? The Sfaradim keep to this, basically. They have Shavua Shechal Bo. There's nothing to do from Rosh Chodesh, but they have Shavua Shechal Bo. We also have Shavua Shechal Bo as being more chamor, But we also have the, from Rosh Chodesh, we have the 9 days. So we, those things are already post the Gemara. The Gonim bring those things up.
Just ask, sorry, a quick one, slight digression. On a year like this year, when...
It's on Sunday, right?
Does that mean some of the dinim, regular dinim of Tisha B'Av, we, let's say, after Chatzot, like, things are a little bit less normally, right?
There are certain things get lifted up on Tisha B'Av after Chatzot.
It's Echla because it's the 10th that some of those things are... Is everything just the same as a normal day as if it's the 9th?
No, the only difference is that the following day you don't have to wait until Chatzot.
Right. Cut your hair, but not in the night of the...
Right.
Even Motzei the 10th, right. You still can't.
No. What?
Even on Motzei the 10th.
Correct.
You still can't.
Right. But you have to wait till the morning. But right in the morning you can do it. You don't have to wait
till the morning.
This time, this year, I think, no.
Yeah. Right. They don't do
anything. They're forced to eat meat through until the run through.
Yes. Dafka, in fact, I remember that it happened last year.
Last year.
Same thing as last year.
Dafka, there was a thing like that you had meat for Sudash Lishit.
Well, you can always have meat for Sudashi. We're going to have meat for Sudashi.
You have meat for Sudashi, even if you don't normally do it. Dafka have meat for Sudashi.
Why?
Before the fast.
Why?
I don't remember.
No.
Last year there was
it can't be a thing for Dafka. I don't think it's Dafka. But it's true that the Mishnah Berurah says you should have a nice Shal Shiris meal, but not Dafka. Hmm? You're just saying you should have a nice Shal Shiris meal. There should be no hint of trying to fast on Erev Tisha B'Av or anything like that. Right.
The 9 days, the 10 days.
The 10 days. So.
Right.
The 9 days,
so,
the 10 days.
Right.
Sort of works.
Right, but you have an extra day, though.
Yeah. Matthew, in your room, you get an extra few hours of Sunday anyway.
Both fasts.
Yeah. So, that's the next thing. It says, Erev Tisha B'Av, Lo Yochal Adam Shnei Tavshilin. This is what you're talking about, Ilan. Erev Tisha B'Av, Lo Yochal. Right? On a regular Erev Tisha B'Av, you're not supposed to have, this is Erev Tisha B'Av, by the way, you're not supposed to have two types of foods, right? And you should not have meat and you should not drink wine. Mashma, that, you know, before that you could, but we don't, right? We have we've taken on extra minhagim not to do that during the entire 9 days. But of course, on Shabbos, that doesn't apply. That's not going to apply this year. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Yishana. He just says you should have a different kind of meal. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev Bekfiyas Hamita V'lo Dulo Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda said that you have to go so far that you even turn over the beds. This is a minhag that they used to do in a shiva house. Is they used to turn over the beds. We don't do this anymore. The reason why they used to turn over the bed was because the bed that they used to have, so it had an indentation from the person sleeping on it, which meant that it like looked like a body. So they would turn it over to get rid of that indentation. We, nowadays, have a new thing that we do that they didn't used to do, which is to cover the mirrors. Mm. What is that? That's the same thing. It's supposed to cover the Tzelem Elokim so that we don't see the person in the base of it. This is a din in I'd like to point out, Rav Soloveitchik had this idea that there are certain nihugim that an avil does that have to do with the bias. It's like the base of it. So for this would be an example.
Sorry, they have to do that?
They have to do with the house of the avil. It's not the avil himself. It's not the mourner. It's his house that needs this stuff done. So for instance, back in the day when they used to flip over the bed, so that was something that would be done in the house of the avil. If the avil were, let's say, to go to another house for some reason, so perhaps they wouldn't have to do that for him. Or for instance, if the avil goes to another person's house, we don't have to cover the mirrors in the other person's house. Because covering the mirrors is not something you do for the Avel, it's something we do for his house.
So, sorry, is it for the Avel or is it for the person who died? Is it anything to do with the image of, you know, the person who died is in that house and his image or her image or whatever is on the bed, right? Or in the mirror or something like
no,
that?
No, because you know that you have pictures of the Nifter in the person's house all the time. It's Dafka the mirrors. He's not supposed to see, you know, that live feed, I guess you'd say. There were others that Rabbi Soloveitchik thought.
But it's not a question of all of who's, whether it's the house of the person who.
No, it's where the person's mourning. It's where the person's mourning.
One of the reasons is a person doesn't, the avil, it's not a mirror only in the house. It's anyway, doesn't contemplate. When you look in the mirror, you contemplate yourself and contemplate things.
No,
I think. Therefore, you cover the mirror so you don't have that contemplation. I don't think so. Contemplate Alukah.
No, I don't think so. No, no. This original source was based on this Kfiyas Amita, mm-hmm. was based on getting rid of that Tzelem Elokim so that it doesn't, you know, show up in the house so much. It's interesting. Rabbi Savitch wanted to extend this to other things, like for instance, let's say learning. So he thought learning Torah was something that shouldn't be done in the Beis Avel. So even not just the Avel shouldn't be learning, but even other people that come to the house shouldn't be learning. Doesn't seem like that was that's the minhag, or even to say halai, to say sheila shalom, to say, you know, to say good morning to somebody. So we don't, we're careful not to do that to the Avel, but people are not careful not to do that to each other. So he thought that you should be careful. I don't think that's the minhag. People usually don't worry about that so much, even if they're in the Beis Avel.
We do,
even in front of the Avel. Amar Bashem Gamliel, Lohayu Yomim Tovim Li Yisrael Kachamisha Asar Ba'av. There are no better days than Tu Ba'av Uki Yom HaKippurim and Yom HaKippurim. Shebahen, on those 2 days, this is the explanation given in the Mishnah. The Gemara will give a different explanation for why they're so happy. Here is an interesting explanation given in the Mishnah. Shebahen Benos Yerushalayim Yotos Bechli Lavan She'ulin She'lo Levayas Esh Mishayin Lo Kol Kelim She'ein Lo. The women, the girls, the Benos Yerushalayim used to go out in white clothing, and the Gemara expands and says they used to dance, and they would go out in white clothing, and they were borrowed clothing, so that nobody would have like nice clothing, and then other people would have not so nice clothing. Everybody would have borrowed clothing, and nobody would be embarrassed. They would, you know, dance and sing in the fields, in the vineyards. And what did they say? Bechor, sa na einecha ure'e ma'ata borer lecha. Pick somebody. Open your eyes, pick somebody. However, al titen einecha benoi, ten einecha b'mishpacha. Don't look for beauty, look for yichus, for family. Sheker achein vehevel yofi, isha yirat Hashem hit hitalal. Because, you know, that's from Eishes Chayil. You should look at the person's actions. So then it finally gives also the other pasuk from Shir HaShirim that talks about going, that the Bnos Tzion, which is representative of the Bnos Yisrael, will go out, and it says, so the Mishnah darshins b'yom chatunato ze matan Torah. The day of his wedding is matan Torah. B'yom simchat libo ze binyan beit hamikdash yibaneh b'mihar b'yameinu. And yom simchat libo is binyan beit hamikdash. So the Netziv actually talks about this. He says, why is it that matan Torah is the wedding and the mikdash is yom simchat libo? What, isn't the wedding a happy time? So he says, well, at a wedding, it may be very happy, but very often the spouses, the husband and the wife, they don't enjoy it so much because they're so busy and they're so excited and they're so distracted and with everything that's going on, they don't get to enjoy it so much. So the wedding is nice, but it's not Yom Simchat Libo because they're so busy. So it's what comes afterwards, the day-to-day living afterwards, that's the Yom Simchat Libo, which is the Beit HaMikdash, which is kind of, you know, where Bnei Yisrael are going eventually, that's going to be their ultimate destination, as opposed to Matan Torah. So that's the Mishnah. We're going to go back now, and we're going to talk about the Nisiyas Kapayim. If you remember, that's actually how we started this conversation. The Mishnah started off with Berachas Kohanim. And we're going to go back to that now. B'shlosha prakim, b'shana kohanim yosim es kapayim. What's the problem? Said there are 3 times a year when the Kohanim are do Berachas Kohanim 4 times a day. What was the problem? Andrew pointed out before. Well, again, back in those days, they actually did do Ne'ilah on those days. We said 4 types of days. There was Yom Kippur, obviously. Then there was a regular Ta'anis, which they used to do Ne'ilah. And then there was the Ma'amados, where they also did the Ne'ilah. But what didn't they do? Musaf. There was no reason to do Musaf. Except for Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, they did Musaf. But on the other days, there was no reason to do Musaf. It wasn't a special day for Musaf. So that's exactly what the Gemara wants to know. Taniyos and Ma'amados, Mi'ika Musaf. There's no Musaf. Oh, Chasuri Mechsura V'Hachik Tani. You're right. This is what it means. B'shlosha prakim kohanim nosim eskapeim, kol zman shemispalim, kol zman shemispalim. What it really means is that there are three times a year that the kohanim duchin every single time they daven. Now, some of those times they daven three times. Some of those days they daven three times, like Tanis and Mamados. And some of those days they daven four times, like Yom Kippur, right? So that's why, that's what it really meant. V'yeshmen arba pamim b'yom, shachar to musaf u'mincha. There's four unilas sharim. There are four possible tefillot that they could be saying. V'elu en shloshes aprakim taniyos ha'mamadash v'yom kippur. There you go. That's what the Mishnah means. Now, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba bar Avuah, zu divrei Rabbi Meir. Rav Nachman says, the Mishnah, it's a stan Mishnah, so this is okay. He says, that's Rabbi Meir. The opinion espoused in the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, that let's say, for instance, on Yom Kippur and on all the other days, every single time they daven, they dochen. Aval. Chachamim omrim shachar is a musaf, yesh behen nisiyas kapayim. Min chonila ein behen nisiyas kapayim. The rabbis say, the chachamim say, no, only twice, only two out of those four possibilities. Shachar is a musaf, yes, but mincha and ne'ila, no. There's no berachas kohanim during mincha and ne'ila. That's the second opinion.
It goes on until today.
What? Yeah, but it has nothing to do with whether we should or we shouldn't. It has to do with how late it is by the time we get there. Man chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya shachar to Musaf, mincha and ila kulan yesh ben yisus kvaim divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda omer shachar to Musaf yesh ben yisus kvaim mincha and ila ein behen yisus kapayim. Right, that's Rabbi Yehuda. So the chachamim are Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim are identical, but there is a third opinion. The third opinion is Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi omer ne'ila yesh ben yisus kapayim. So you have three opinions. One opinion says that all four, every possibility, shachris, musaf, mincha, ne'ila, we always do brachas kohanim on these three types of days. The second opinion is Rabbi Yehuda, which is the chachamim, which says only shachris and musaf. Whoever heard of dochening in the afternoon, not for mincha and ne'ila. And the third opinion is Rabbi Yossi, who says shachris, musaf, and ne'ila. We just leave out mincha. We leave out mincha. Why do we leave out mincha? So the Gemara is going to explain to us what's going on in this machlokas. But my kamiflagi, what are they arguing about, right? Kamiflagi, we should know this word, palag, pe lamed gimel in Aramaic, always means to split. Palginon, plukta, kamiflagi, plag, right? It means to split. What?
Haflaga.
All these things mean in Aramaic to split. So, but my kamiflagi, what are they split about? Rabbi Meir savar kol yoma tama milo parshi kohani yadai. Rabbi Meir says every single day of the year, why don't the kohanim do berachas kohanim at mincha? Everybody agrees that mincha on a regular Tuesday doesn't get berachas kohanim. Why? Mishum shechrus. That's only because they're likely to be drunk. Why are they likely to be drunk? Because they just had lunch. They just had lunch, and at lunch you drink. And what do you drink? You drink wine. That's what you drink. They didn't have Coke. So they drink wine. So it's possible that they could be drunk. And you can't, as we're going to see, you can't dochen when you're drunk. Ha'idna leka shechrus. But now, ha'idna leka shechrus. But on Tanis, of course, Rabbi Meir will say, on a fast day,
there's no drinking.
They can't be drunk. So from Rabbi Meir's perspective, there's a chiyuv to, I wouldn't say a chiyuv, but the possibility. How many times does a day does a kohen have to duchen? Well, the Torah doesn't tell us. The Torah just says that they have to duchen. But we have a tradition that says that whenever there's a mitzvah to say, which we don't know how many times to do it, how many times do we do it? Once every day. So tefillah, let's say. Rambam says you have the mitzvah to daven. He says once every day. All of our mitzvahs are once every day. So Berachas Kohanim only has to be done once every day. Now, the Tosfos in Megillah points out that you can do it more. It's not a violation of Baal Tosif. You can do it as many times as you want. So Rabbi Meir says it's appropriate to do Berachas Kohanim every single day at all tefillot. Every chance, every hizdamnut that you get during the day. But we don't do it at mincha because the people might be drunk. Okay? Where does that leave us? On Atanis, we should because they're not going to be drunk. Makes sense? That's Rabbi Meir's position. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Shachris and Musaf, the Chol Yom Aloshchech Shechros, Lo Gazir Berhabanan, Mincho and Eila, the Chol Yom Aloshchech Shechros, Gazir Berhabanan. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, in the morning, they're definitely not going to be drunk, or even if they are, you have to do it at some point. They do Berchas Kohanim. In the afternoon, there's a possibility that they're going to be drunk, so both Mincha and Neila, we don't allow it during the year for sure. There's no Neila during the year, but we don't allow it. And then on Tanis as well, we don't allow it as a Gzeira, because people are going to get used to doing Berchas Kohanim on a Tanis, and then they're going to do it during the week. So we've canceled Berchas Kohanim in the afternoon, the whole year, including Mincha and Neila on a Tanis. The final opinion, Rabbi Yosi Savar, Mincha de Yisa Kol Yom, Magazir Rabbanan, Ne'ila de Leisim Kol Yom, Lugazir Rabbanan. Rabbi Yosi says, I'll take half of that. He'll say, Mincha on a Tanis, yes. We're not going to dock at Mincha on a Tanis, because we have Mincha every day. So if we do Berachas Kohanim at Mincha on a Tanis, then we may do it during the year. Or maybe a better way to say that is, the rabbis instituted no Berachas Kohanim at Mincha, and we throw in a Tanis as well. We don't differentiate. But Ne'ila, there's no Ne'ila during the year. The rabbis couldn't have been Gozer against Ne'ila because there's no day for them to be Gozer against Ne'ila. So it doesn't make sense. So Rabbi Yossi's position is that even on that every day of the year, of course, we don't do Berachas Kohanim and Mincha. Nobody says that we would. But on a Tanis, Rabbi Yossi says, we don't do Berachas Kohanim at Mincha because they said we don't do it the whole year at Mincha. But at Ne'ila, we do, because there's no Ne'ila on a regular day of the week to be Gozer against.
Why do we add the Psukim in Mincha?
Which Elokeinu L'chei L'Zayin are you talking about?
Yeah.
Which Mincha? On Tanis? Okay, we'll get there. okay. So that's Rabbi Yossi's position. Now, how do we pass in also, by the way? Where did it go? Logos Rabban. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Halacha K'Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Nago Ha'am K'Rabbi Meir. V'Rav Amar Minha K'Rabbi Meir. Three different things. It's important. The first position is Rabbi Yochanan says Nahagu Ha'am K'Rabbi Meir. Meaning, sorry, let me start the first one. Rabbi Yehuda says Halacha K'Rabbi Meir. That means L'chatchila, and we tell everybody and write it down in Shulchan Aruch so everybody knows. Rabbi Yochanan says Nahagu Ha'am K'Rabbi Meir, which means that's what we do. It's not written down anywhere, but it's what we do. L'chatchila, that's what we do. Rava says, Minag Rabbi Meir. Rava says, no, the Minag is Rabbi Meir, but we don't tell anybody to do it. So now what does that mean? Mandam Ralachak Rabbi Meir, this is exactly what the Gemara is going to say. Mandam Ralachak Rabbi Meir, Darshin Allah Bepirka. We say in Shutta Shavua, we tell everybody to do Berachas Kohanim at Mincha of Atanis Tzibur. The one who says that it's minhag, so if anybody asks, you tell them that's what you should do. But we don't give a cheers about it. We don't even say that. Meaning, Rabbi says, we don't approve of it. We don't tell anybody to do it. But if a Kohen gets up to do Berachas Kohanim at Mincha on a Tanis, we don't take him down. That's the weakest version of it. This is actually really important that the Gemara does this, because the truth is, people don't know. You open up a Shulchan Aruch, right? And you want to know what you should or should not do. And you look at the Shulchan Aruch, and it seems the Shulchan Aruch views positively or negatively something, right? And your conclusion that you draw from that is that either it's Chayav, or it's Aser, or whatever. And the truth is that there are a lot of key words in the Shulchan Aruch. Rav Yosef Karo had a lot of different ways of telling you what you should or should not do, and depending on what word he uses, you know what his real position is and what you should really do. I'll give you an example. If he says chayav something, then you're chayav. If he says aser something, then it's aser, right? But what happens if he says a minhag something? So that's not the same thing. You have to find out what your minhag is. It means that minhadin, you don't necessarily have to do it, or something like that, right? Or Hamadaktik in X, right? And this is essential. I'll give you an example. He writes that, this is just one that comes to me off the top of my head, Medaktik in to say Sriyasa Omer after Shkia. Right? Medaktik in after Shkia. So what does that mean?
Can you even think of doing it before Shkia?
If it makes sense, sometimes it could really get
the word.
What if you do it during Bein Hashmashos? Or after Plag Mincha, let's say. Let's keep it to Bein Hashmashos. What if you do it before say to Chavim,
like
during Bein Hashmashos?
Okay.
Not only is it B'dievet okay, if you find yourself in a minyan, right? If you find yourself in a minyan where they're davening before Tzeitzot Kochavim, they daven Mara before Tzeitzot Kochavim, what you should do, and the post can say this, what you should do is you should actually say Sfiras Omer without a bracha. I'll deny that you're going to say it, if you say it later, then that's your mitzvah, but if you don't say it later, then this is your mitzvah. And then later on, you can say it with a bracha again. Now, how can you do that? He said, I'm a daktikin, you should say it after. The answer is, he said, medaktikin, which means that we try to do that, but you can do it before. Which means, min hadin, you are allowed to do it before. Min hadin, you're allowed to do it before. We try. Mahadrin min ha-mahadrin, right, is to do it after. So it depends on the word usage that he has. And people don't realize that, you know, you have to read the Shulchan Aruch carefully. Not just, look, asr, mutter, it doesn't always give you those words. He sometimes gives you different words, right? That's what this is. Minhag, noagin. Big difference between them. Okay, so now all those positions, though, say that we follow Rabbi Meir. However, Rav Nachman Amar, halacha k'Rabbi Yosi, v'halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. The conclusion of the editors of the Gemara is halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. If you see that the little Rambam Dalit over there is on halacha k'Rabbi Yosi, the poskim paskin that halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, which means that the halacha is that on a tanis, we do not say Berachas Kohanim at Yuncha, we do say Berachas Kohanim at Ne'ila. Right? That's what it should mean. Va'idna, the Gemara says, we don't do that. Va'idna, nowadays, my time of Parsha Kanaya Dayo B'minchas at the Tanesa. But we see, you look around, and you find that the Kohanim do Berachas Kohanim at Mincha on a Tanis. During the time of the Gemara, that's what they did. So how can we say that we follow Rabbi Yosi if they did do Berachas Kohanim at Mincha of a Tanis? Because they were davening Mincha, Dibdumei Chama, they were davening Mincha right at Shkia, right before Shkia. What did it look like? It looked more like Ne'ila than it did like Mincha. Apparently, they used to daven Mincha on a regular day at Mincha Gedola, early in the day. That's why they were drunk. They just had lunch. They just had lunch and they daven Mincha. But on a Tanis, they would daven Mincha late in the day. Right? So it looked like Ne'ila.
So there wasn't a risk of it.
So there was no risk because when you do Berachas Kohanim, when the sun is coming down, right? So it was clear that, oh, this is different than a regular Mincha. Mm-hmm. And also, they weren't drunk, by the way. Also, they weren't drunk because they had eaten much, much earlier. However, according to everybody, shikor asur benisias kapayim. A drunk person is not allowed to do berachas kohanim. Minani mili. How do we know? Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Levi Mishur bar Kapara. Lama ismucha parshas kohen mevarich leparshas nazir. Why did they connect the parsha of a kohen berachas kohanim? Sorry, to parshas nazir in parshas nasa. Right? Why are the two things put together? To tell you that just like a nazir is not allowed to drink wine, a kohen who's getting ready to do berachas kohanim is not allowed to drink wine. If that's the case, what's the Gemara going to ask? Is a nazir only not allowed to drink wine? Is that really an accurate description of what a nazir is not allowed to do when it comes to what? Let's forget that. Nazir is not only not allowed to drink wine, he's not allowed to eat grape juice or eat grapes. Right? So, Ma Nazir Asr B'yayin, Avkon Mavar, so Maskif La Avua de Rabbi Zera. By the way, what kind of question is Maskif? Remember? Attacking from where?
To challenge the opinion of
four. From where, though? From what kind of argument? From logic. Mm-hmm. Not from another source, but from logic. So here it's from logic. Maskif La Avua de Rabbi Zera. That doesn't make sense. You shouldn't be allowed to eat grapes or any grape product. Okay, they make a nice drasha, huge drasha to get out of that. Okay, fine. Now, where does this leave us? What do I want to focus on? So, first of all, I want you all to see my new favorite Tosfos. It's on the top of Kaf Vav Amud Beis, top of our daf over here. My new favorite Tosfos. Take a look at this. Tosfos wants to know. He says, Mincha ne'ilah d'chol yom shchicha v'hushichros, gazer rabbanan. Right? We said, Mincha ne'ilah, which every single day they could be drunk, so they made a gzera. That was the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Afilu b'yoma d'tanis d'leis b'hushichros. They make a gzera even on a fast day, even when people can't be drunk. V'kasha, d'hacha, mashma d'ba mincha shaycha shichros. Over here, the implication is that mincha has a problem of people being drunk. The time of mincha during the day. But the Gemara in Shabbos says that there is no chashash of shichros at mincha. The Gemara in Shabbos says. The context of the Gemara in Shabbos, if I remember correctly, has to do with getting a haircut and doing certain things on Erev Shabbos because they were worried that you were going to get, I think that's what it was, they were worried that you were going to lose yourself, so they were worried that you were going to get drunk. So he said, then that's not a concern by mincha for that. So they're not worried about drinking or being drunk at mincha. So how do we reconcile that with our Gemara where they're worried about drinking and getting drunk? This is my new favorite Tosfos. Compared to the nighttime, the daytime is nothing. People are much more drunk at night than they are during the day.
It's a relative drunkenness.
People aren't drunk at all during the day. You come at night, you see what people are doing at night, then you'll see what drunkenness looks like. So the Yosef Shriya Shechers Ba'arvis Mi B'mincha. But of course, people are more drunk at mincha than they are at shachris and musaf. Now, I do have to say about this: if you've ever been in shul on Simchas Torah, right, musaf time, I know that in my shul there were multiple times when the rabbi had to tell certain kohanim that they weren't allowed to say brachas kohanim.
A lot of shuls did during shachrit on
what?
My shuls did on shachrit.
No, well, I'm talking about in Chutz La'aretz, right? So your only time you have it is on Yom Tov. That's the only time they're duchening. What?
You didn't any
Chutz. Right. That's why they don't do well.
That's minhag, don't do
right? But that's a new thing. Yeah. That's a new thing. That's not. It's not supposed to be like that.
They
do it in
Musaf.
Right? Why? Because of this.
Exactly why?
Because of this. But I can remember times when people were told not to even do shachris because they got drunk before shachris.
From the night before.
I don't know. No, because in no, maybe I guess. Yeah. So that's what Tosfos is over here. And look at the last Tosfos on the daf, by the way, also. The Gemara points out that nowadays, or at least during their days, contemporaneously to the Gemara, they did do Birchas Kohanim at Mincha. So he says, they did not do Nesias Kapayim at Mincha B'Yom Kippurim. The Fisha B'Spayel in Mincha B'Or Hayom Gadol, Ava B'Mincha B'Shar Taniyos, Yesh Nesias Kapayim, Ava Mikom B'Kom B'Ne'ilas B'Yom Kippurim, Yesh Nesias Kapayim. What did Tosfos say over here? He said, Mincha of Yom Kippur, they did not do Birchas Kohanim. Why? For this reason, because, for the same reason why they didn't do it on a regular time, it's because it's at the same time as a regular Mincha during the year. Now, this is what I want to talk about for the rest of the time. What about nowadays? Do we do Birchas Kohanim at Mincha of a Tanis?
We said it.
You mean we say, okay, no, okay, I was saying. What about actual Birchas Kohanim?
We don't actually do Birchas Kohanim.
Why not?
I don't know. You didn't tell us
anything. Well.
We don't do it.
Why not?
I don't know.
But we should.
We should.
If we get it in before Shkia. Right? If we can get it in before Shkia or about 11 minutes, we should. But what about if you daven Mincha Gedola on a Tanis nowadays? What about that? The Gemara established that we do the Birchas Kohanim at Mincha of a Tanis. And the reason given was because they daven right before Shkia Sechama. So it's like Ne'ilah.
we daven often in Chagdalah on the times particularly?
No, we don't. I mean, and sure we don't.
On
Tisha B'Av,
we do.
Oh, Tisha B'Av, we do. Tisha B'Av, we do. Yeah, on a regular Tanis, though, we don't. On Tisha B'Av, some people do, some people don't.
Yeah. The Kollel do them. The Kollel daven at Mincha Gedola every Tanis.
Good. So, should they do Berachas Kohanim? For that matter, in Chutz La'aretz, should they say Alkeinu V'Alkei Avoseinu? For that matter, in Eretz Yisrael, if we don't do Berachas Kohanim, should we say Alkeinu V'Alkei Avoseinu instead? So, this is the subject of a pretty big machlokes of Achronim. It seems to have come up really, you know, mostly in the last 50, 60 years, from the late Achronim. We have positions are pretty much Chazanish versus Rosh Hashanah Harbach, and Rav Osner as well. And the positions fall out like this. I'm going to read to you from the Stifler, even though you don't have it in front of you.
You're saying this is in Chutz La'aretz?
Well, it has ramifications for Chutz La'aretz as well, because they will either say Elokeinu V'Alkei Avoseinu or not.
Right.
If we don't duchen Birchas Kohanim in Mincha at Mincha early, then they shouldn't do Elokeinu V'Alkei Avoseinu.
Right.
The
Yom Kippur they duchen.
At Mincha?
No.
They duchen Musaf. Oh, for sure. They duchen Musaf. Do they duchen at Ni'ila? Depends.
Yeah.
So, this is the question that Rav Yaakov Kanievsky tried to figure out. He says, what do we say about nowadays? This is the big question. What do we say? And by the way, it is a big question. It's not a big question because it's so important, but it's a big question because of what the question is. You have a situation here where the Gemara established that there was a gzeira, that we don't do Berachas Kohanim at Mincha, which is lifted during a Tanis
because
the Mincha was late. So what happens if Mincha gets pushed forward nowadays? So he quotes the Chazon Ish.
But did they always do Mincha later?
So that's a good question. The Ritva implies that they were doing it late, and some of them were doing it. And when they would do it early, then it wouldn't apply.
Is
but
a particular reason they did it late?
Most likely, so that they could get Mincha and Ma'ariv at the same time. I don't know.
Was it good that everybody?
Don't know.
We just established before we go into the early. Are we saying that because of the ruling that Gemara, we would duchen at Mincha.
We should.
Late.
We should. The Shulchan Aruch says.
But yes, we don't.
I don't know why we don't. I did it. There's a minhag not to. I don't know. But we should. So, the Stipler quotes the Chazon Ish. Says, Eichi dina b'makom d'mispalim b'zmanenu mincha gdola. Iyi kan esi eskapayim. When we do mincha gdola, should we do it? So the Chazon Ish says, "Efshar kevin debezman chasimas a Talmud kavu de parshi yadayu b'mincha." It could be that at the time of the closing of the Talmud, they did do Birchas Kohanim at Mincha de Tanisa. Ein lanu l'shanas minhagim. We should not change that minhag. Af im mispalim mincha ba'or hayom gadol she'anu nigraru nachar minhagav v'seinu. He says, "Kapayim." Says because that was the minhag. The minhag was that we do Birchas Kohanim at Mincha on a Tanis. That's when the Gemara was closed. That's what we should do. We should follow minhag avoseinu. Even if we don't have the reason that applied during those days, because the reason applied during those days was that it was late, and we do it early, nevertheless, we should still do what they said. Is that true? Or should we say, no, the Siba is gone, the reason for the Gzeira is defunct, and therefore we should change it.
Sure, we had this conversation on Shabbos.
We did have this conversation on Shabbos. And this Kilas Yaakov really blows up the whole sugya, and he brings up a whole slew of examples of this issue. The place where you want to look, you know, in terms of the classical location for this machlokes is the one I brought up on Shabbos of Mayim Megulin, where you have water that was left open, right, overnight. It's Kuf Tes Zayin in Shulchan Aruch and in Yoredeya. Not in Archaim, in Kuftes Zayin of Yerodea. And there the Shulchan Aruch says, we don't worry about it anymore. And all the Nasi Kalim try to figure out why we don't worry about it anymore. Right? Because after all, it was a Gzeira. And just because the reason went away, why should that mean that we stop doing it? He brings up a whole slew of other examples like that. You know, one other example that you could come up with that's like that is, let's say, for instance, we don't do it in our shul. In Eretz Yisrael, the minhag is not to. But in Chutz La'aretz, you can tell me if they do it in South Africa and in England, but I know that in my shul, in Brooklyn at least, we always made Kiddush and shul on Friday night.
Yeah.
Right? For no reason. Because you need to make kiddush b'makom seuda. Nobody's eating in the shul. Maybe, you know, once in a while, but nobody's eating in the shul on a regular night. The Gemara records a minhag like that. The Gemara in Pesachim says that we do kiddush and shul on Friday night for people who might be eating in the shul. For people who might be eating in the shul because they don't have a home to go to.
I used to go to Brazil on business. I remember every Friday night I was in Brazil, they did a kiddush and a meal.
Good. So that's the Ikar Adina. But most places they don't have that. So why do they continue to do that? So the answer is because the minhag was recorded in the Gemara. That's what we do. That didn't make it into Israel, but that's, if you go to a shul like that, the minhag of Aseinu B'Yadeinu, we do it, even though the reason doesn't apply anymore. And there are tons of examples of things like that. So do we say that, or do we not say that? So the short answer over here is that the Chazon Ish says that we should, to the degree that in his Beit Medrash, they did, when they would daven mincha early, it's recorded, when they would daven mincha early on a Tanis, they would do Berchas Kohanim. Shlomo Zalman Arbach disagreed, Rav Vosner disagreed. They say we don't do Berchas Kohanim. There's some question, I saw conflicting opinions, about whether or not we say Elokeinu v'Elokei Eloseinu. Because I guess the rationale would be we want to hedge our bets. So if we're not going to say do Berchas Kohanim, but let's at least say Elokeinu v'Elokei Eloseinu, because we should say Berchas Kohanim. But others I saw said that we don't say anything at all, because they're not going to do Berchas Kohanim, because we're not doing it, so we're not going to say Elokeinu v'Elokei. Okay.
Maybe it's a silly question, but if there's a suffix about whether or not, I mean, the whole question about whether or not they should say it if they're doing the mincha kedoshah,
right?
Why not say mincha late? And then you don't have a question.
You should. That's what Rav Vazner says. That's what Shlomo Zalman Arbach says. You should say it late.
Do it.
But what happens if you don't? What happens if you say it early? So the Chazon Ish wasn't concerned. He wasn't concerned because he said, what's the suffix? It's a suffix. So good. It's a suffix derabanan. A suffix on a gzera derabanan. I have a mitzvah daraisa. It's pashut. I'm going to say a bracha and I'm going to do brachas gohanim. Pashut. He said that was obvious to him. No, it wasn't obvious. It was, but in his book it wasn't obvious, but in practice that's what they did.
Who was that from?
The Chazon Ish. That's how he puts it. He says it's a mitzvah daraisa. Not a chtiv daraisa, but it's a mitzvah daraisa, and it's only a gzera derabana, which we're not sure whether or not it applies nowadays, so no problem.
Right.
Mm.
But the other poskim, it seems that the minhag is not. From the books that I've seen, the minhag is not to do Berchatz Kohanim if it's early. I'm still not clear whether you're supposed to say Elokeinu Elokei Eloseinu. I saw in the Dirshu Mishnah Berura, they said that you are supposed to say it, and in the Piskei Tshuvos, he says that Pashut, that you're not supposed to say it. That wasn't clear. Rav Vosner says you're not supposed to.
If I can,
what?
The Kolovas,
they say Elokeinu Elokei Eloseinu early mincha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Does the Siddurim don't sort of have any difference between what's
that? You know, I don't want to cast aspersions. It could be that they you know, that they're not sure, that they didn't, I'm not going to say ignorant, but it could be that they didn't think about it.
I'm not also to cause any dispersion, but I don't think this is a well-known understanding of
the Siddur.
The
Siddur
doesn't say
early mincha. Right, I'm not surprised. Yeah. I think probably they do know.
My deeper concern is why a chief that we don't duchen.
We'll look into it.
Maybe it's too late.
Maybe because it's too late.
Then we should have it earlier.
Okay.
Duchen on Yom Kippur.
No, all the time.
Look into it. Maybe there's a minagnatu. I don't know. I don't know what the Shulchan Aruch says, but maybe there's a minagnatu. But in the Chazon Ish, they did it even early mincha.
Are there other things that we do different in tefillah depending on whether we say saying a mincha gedolah or a...
Yeah, we don't do a lina molkeinu.
No?
If it's dark.
Oh, yeah,
If it's later.
If you're out of time.
No, we're later. Right.
Like on a mincha before lila.
A lina molkeinu on later. You don't do a lina molkeinu late. You don't have a mincha late.
Where?
Yeah. On the fast day. On the time. So.
Now, the Stipler goes into, amongst other things, he goes into this whole subject of, do we say when there's a gzera or a takana, if the reason goes away, does that mean that the gzera goes away? In general, the Gemara Beitza says no. It says bat lasibaso lo bat latakanto. If you have a gzera or a takana that was established by a beis din, you need a beis din gadol b'minyan uvachachma in order to abolish it, right? So how do you get around all these things that do change? My Magulin changes. Right? We do drink water that was left open. Other examples, Melech Sodomis, according to Tosfos, we're not worried about it anymore, and we don't worry about Mayim Achor, and we don't do Mayim Achorinim. I gave you an example on Shabbos that not everybody agrees with, but Tosfos says that you don't worry about clapping and dancing on Shabbos, because you're not worried about the fixing of the instruments anymore. And there are plenty of other examples of things like that.
We're going to talk about oil.
Oh.
About Yai Nesef, oil Nesef.
I'm thinking of something. Shem and Sreifa, are you thinking? Shem and Tmeah?
Yeah.
Shem and Sreifa, yeah, that's one of the examples that the staple actually brings right at the beginning. Hitiru Lazar Litbo B'Shem and Sreifa. I don't know if this is what you're thinking about.
Yeah.
That they allowed a Zar, meaning a non Kohen, Litbo B'Shem and Sreifa Shal Truma, to use oil that was to burn oil that was truma oil to light a candle, which he's not supposed to do because he's not supposed to use truma oil. He's not supposed to get benefit from it.
No, that wasn't what I was
thinking. Well, this is what he's talking about. Now he's not supposed to use it. Now, why did they do that? Because that was the only oil he had, and it says that the b'shas mishlachat ze'evim. Because it was dangerous outside. There were wild animals. So to make him go out and get other, or to not allow him to go out with a light, was dangerous. So they said, you can use this. Now, it's only in Issur Rabbanan over there. Mm-hmm. So that's why it was allowed. But they said, well, what happened when the Ze'evim went away? When the danger went away? Did they continue to allow it? And the answer was, they didn't disallow it. And so people continued to act that way. In other words, Midur Rabbanan, they were not allowed to use Shem and Sreifa, the Zar. Right, but the rabbi said that it's okay to use it because it's dangerous. And then, once it stopped being dangerous, the rabbis never got up and said, okay, now we are reinforcing our gzeira. And people continued to be lenient. And that was okay. Why was that okay? Shouldn't they have just said, well, you know, the leniency, the reason for leniency has gone away, therefore we should go back to the way things were. But no, they just let inertia continue. I guess another example of this would be, it's not a great example of this because there are plenty of explanations for it, but Hanukkah candles, right? We continue to light inside, even though it's not dangerous in many places in the world. Now, there are other explanations for that, that the mitzvah actually changed, maybe. But let's say you don't assume that. You just assume that, no, once the takana came out, that you can light inside, so people continue to do it, even though it's not dangerous, because that was their minhag. I'm just trying to remember what some of the other examples were before we get to...
There is something nesek, isn't there? Like we have yayin nesek now. There was something else. That non-Jews weren't allowed to drink or eat if it belonged to a non-Jew. Was it oil or cheese?
I mean, there's such a thing as Shem and Nesach also.
Shem and Nesach, yes.
That still applies. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't, it's not very common. Yeah, Shem and Nesach applies. Or either it wasn't common, or it might be, if I'm remembering correctly, it might be that they couldn't handle it. It might be one of the times when it was Exerisha Yevshal Amod, but I don't remember. I'm not sure. Was there another one that I wanted to tell you about? Can't find it right now, but I'll tell you. How do we handle these situations? How do we explain when sometimes we don't allow the gzera to go back to what it was, and sometimes we do make it go back to what it was. How do we explain? So I've seen two explanations for trying to figure them out. One explanation, this is the explanation of the Pri Chadash. So he says, the truth is that every time they made the takana, even when they made the takana, there existed places where the takana didn't apply. So for example, with regards to the mincha situation, right? We assumed before that, oh, what's going on is that everybody is doing mincha late. So it was like all around the world, everybody's doing mincha late on Atanis. And that was the gzera. That's why they lifted the gzera and they said, you're allowed to do birchas kohanim at mincha because everybody's doing it. And now that the situation has changed, so we just keep doing it, right? So the Pri Chadash says, no, that's not what they said. What they said was that if you do mincha late in your city, when you do mincha late, you can do Berachas Kohanim at Mincha Leit. But there were places at the time where they did not do Mincha Leit. And in those places where they did not do Mincha Leit, they did not do Berachas Kohanim. In other words, there's no difference between now and then. It was always like that. Mayim Gluvin. Mayim Megulin, there were always places that had no snakes. And in places that had no snakes, there was no gzeira against drinking that water. In which case, it was always the situation that there were some places that the Takana applied, and some places and situations that the Takana didn't apply. And in which case, all of the questions fall away. Then that's why, in those gzeros, that's why for those gzeros, nowadays, we don't have to worry about it. But then there were gzeros that weren't like that. Then there were gzeros that were across the board. There were gzeros that were across the board that were, regardless of where you live, they applied everywhere in the world, no matter what the circumstances.
Like that, the gzera about wine having to be only touched by a Jew, etc., was specifically in the context of assimilation risk, right?
Let's say.
So, but maybe that didn't apply everywhere. Maybe there were some communities where there just wasn't an assimilation risk. It was entirely...
Israel. Well,
community where, let's say, it's only Jews, but there were Goyim who were growing the grapes. But there wasn't a risk of them drinking together, let's say.
It's conceivable. I haven't seen anybody say that, but I guess it's conceivable. In other words, according
otherwise,
to that...
That's
an example.
At the time now, do you think that is a gazera applicable or not, depending on where you live, what you... You know, I think that's very...
There are other reasons. Look, in the 16th century, when people tried to put aside the gazera of Stam Yenam, right, there was a lot of effort to do that. And so, like the Maharal, for instance, and many others, came out betokef against trying to be lenient, and they mentioned other reasons. According to the Maharal, there are other reasons for the gzera chutzmi. Yeah,
right.
Well, more than just merely not intermarrying, but rather separating in a very, very clear way that our wine is different, and our wine shouldn't be touched by non-Jews. Whatever. He has a long. It's a funny story, actually. The Maharal, we know them as the Maharal of Prague. He was the rabbi of Prague, right? The truth is that he was in Prague for many years before he became the rabbi of Prague, and in fact, he interviewed for the position and did not get it the first time. when the chief rabbi of Prague first died, when one of the chief rabbis of Prague died, the Maharal applied for the position, went for a prava, or he gets up to give his drasha in the shul. It was right at the time when Stam Yenam was a hot topic. There were many rich people who wanted to be able to, they were importers and exporters and producers of wine, they wanted to be able to taste the wine and drink the wine. And they felt that it was okay. And so he gave
even
as...
Even as a parnassa to sell wines.
That's what they wanted to do. Oh, in general.
You said they want to taste the wines or whatever.
Right. Selling the wine is fine. Getting
enough from something.
But it's not Yayin Nesach, it's Stam Yayinam. It's not wine that's actually been used for Avodah Zarah. It's just wine that's been touched by non-Jews, which potentially could be used for Avodah Zarah. If it was real Yayin Nesach, of course, they would not be able to get Hana from it. But that's not what it is. So he gets up there to give his drasha for his prava. This is his interview speech. And he goes on a tear about this topic. This was his drasha, right? It's like getting up... It's like getting up in a modern Orthodox shul. It's like getting up in a modern Orthodox shul as an interview rabbi and like going off on sneers or going off on the internet. Whatever have you, are saying you can't have a TV in your house and you can't, and just like, and he of course did not get the job, but he was so proud of himself that he published his drasha. You can find the drasha at the end, at the back of one of the volumes. I think it's of Rosh Hashem, of his volume on Pesach. It's back there, and he's like so proud of it. He wrote in his diary how proud of himself, how happy he was that he did it. I mean, in YU they taught us don't do things like that, but he did it, and he was very proud. And you know what? In the end, he got the job later after the next round because he stayed in Prague. Somebody supported him. He stayed in Prague, and then he became face of him. It's enough, I guess, that they hired him after the next rabbi passed away. That's how he became the Maharal of Prague. So that's that thing. Now, but what I wanted to say was, so that's one theory. The one theory is the Pri Chadashi says that even during the time of the Takana, there were places that had it. But there are some gezeras that are like that, and then there are some gezeras that are low plug, that are across the board, doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter when it is, doesn't matter what's going on. That's one version. The other theory, which is similar but different, is that of the Gra. The Gra's position was that if the reason, Rav Shachter likes to harp on this, if the reason for the Takana is mentioned in the primary source of where you find the Takana, then it can be abrogated when the reason goes away. So, for example, the Gemara in Ksuvos talks about how they instituted that women should not get married. At first, women were getting married on Wednesday, I think. Women used to, men and women. Couples used to get married on Wednesday. That was an auspicious day for getting married. But then the non-Jews knew when the Jews were getting married, and they would send the hegemon in order to sleep with the bride the night before, or the day before. Right? You know what they call that? Who saw Braveheart? Prima Nocta. I know that because of Braveheart. That's what that's the beginning of the movie. So the hegemon used to do. So what did they do? So they knew that Jews always get married on Wednesdays. They would just show up on Tuesday, I guess, and then they would be able to do it. So the rabbis instituted, now we're going to move it up. They're going to get married on Tuesday or Wednesday, so then we'll throw them off, and then I guess it's too much trouble. So then what happens when that went away? So then there's a discussion. The Gemara, does that mean that now we go back to the original thing? Right? Nowadays, what was the reason why they got married on Wednesday? The reason why they got married on Wednesday is that it was all completely economical. It was completely financial. Right? Can't get married on Sunday because then you can't get the food ready for Sunday. Because the whole catering process was different then, right? You can't get married. You want to get married on Sunday because then Monday is perfect. Because if they get married on Sunday, then if the girl turns out to not be a basula, then the husband can go to the Beis Din on Monday. You can't get married on Monday because then they have to wait all the way until Thursday. And by the time you get to Thursday, she'll have seduced him. And he'll have calmed down and not care so much anymore. So Tuesday, I think, was the same problem. Wednesday is a good day because Thursday is tomorrow, and you have plenty of time to get the food ready, right? Thursday is no good for the same reason because then you have to wait until Monday, and Friday is no good, also because of Shabbos, and it's completely economical and I guess halachic.
So the Pamayim Kitov thing is just assault.
Pamayim Kitov is on Friday. No, you're right. Sorry, it's on Tuesday. You're right. Sorry.
Tuesday, yeah. Because
and Friday was the best day for almanos, for a widow, for a second marriage. Fish.
On Friday is for the poor people because their Friday meal, they always had food for Friday night, so effectively their wedding meal was Friday
Right. So nowadays that doesn't apply. None of that applies anymore. We get married any day we want. So how do you decide? So the Vilna Gaon said when the reason for the takana is mentioned in the primary source. So there's a very cute Maritz Chilus in the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos records a story about. Now I don't want to get the name wrong because it's almost like Lashon Hara. I believe it's Rabbi Shmuel. I think it's not. I apologize. Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara says there's a Mishnah that says that you're not allowed to read by the light of a candle on Shabbos. And then the Bryce explains that the reason why you're not allowed to read by the light of the candle is Shema Yateh. You might, tilt the candle in order to create more light or less light for the reading. So Rabbi Shmuel said, I'm a tzaddik. He says, I know what the reason is. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to touch the candle. So he read by the candle, and Dafka, he almost did. He really came very, very close to doing it. And then he felt really bad, and he apologized to everybody, apologized to the rabbis that he almost violated the tekanah. So the Vilna Gaon, according to the Meretz Chaim, says, how could Rabbi Shmuel have done this? What kind of thing is that to say, I'm going to do it? And then what happened? Why did he get messed up? Is it really so hard not to move the Nair? So he says, because the Rabbi Shmuel made a mistake. The Mishnah was the original source for the Takana, and it did not mention a reason. But the Braisa mentioned a reason, but that's not the original source. The Mishnah was an earlier source, or a more primary source, than the Braisa. So he misunderstood. He thought that because it mentions the reason, and the Braisa said that was good enough. But it wasn't. If it had mentioned the reason in the Mishnah, he would have been scot-free. He would have been okay. Being careful, it would have been good enough. But because it's only in the Braisa, that was wrong. So you'd have to go through Shas and figure out, is in the primary place where the Takana is mentioned, is the reason mentioned along with it, and then you would know whether or not it applies. So actually, Taka, the ones that we mentioned... What?
Yeah, it is mentioned.
Here it is mentioned, right? And my Magulin, it is mentioned. And the dancing, it is mentioned. The swimming is mentioned, but as I said before, I'm not sure that it doesn't apply anymore. I mean, it's not exactly clear that that the flotation device issue is not an issue. Maybe it is, but I don't know. And there are other issues there anyways. So that's kind of like two different ways of seeing or determining whether or not butlasi basa bala takanta, when the reason goes away, does the actual xero go away as well.
When we lived in England, of course, everyone used to talk about yontov sheni.
Right. No, but that's not a good example, and I'll tell you why. It's very simple why that's not a good example. It's very simple. Because the Gemara already mentioned that they knew the days. The Gemara says, we know the Luach nowadays, so why do we continue to do it? And the Gemara says, Minhag HaBaseinu B'Yadeinu. It says that. You can't get around that. In other words, it's not like we were cleverer than the Gemara. Not even cleverer. We can be humble. We could say, the Gemara, they didn't know. They didn't have the candle, the calendar. We do. The Gemara had a calendar. They had it. So it's very hard to get out of that. Like, impossible, I'd say. Now, I agree that there are people that want to say Yom Tov Sheni and Eretz Yisrael is a different story. I still have my own thing on that, but that's obviously there's a lot more room for that, because that's not what the Gemara was talking about. Mm-hmm. So that's where it leaves us with the Berachas Kohanim. Again, the Chazon Ish thinks that we should say, we can rely on the fact that the last official take of the Chachamim was that we do Berachas Kohanim at Mincha on Ta'anis without any equivocation. But Rosh Hashanah Amud Arbach and most of the other poskim seem to say that no, we don't ignore the fact that times have changed, or at least our circumstances can be different, and we only do Berachas Kohanim when it's late in the day and not when it's earlier in the day. That's the implication from the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch mentions the rationale for why we do Berachas Kohanim at Mincha as being because it's right before Shkiat Techama. He doesn't say if it's before that, don't do it. He doesn't say that. But he mentions it as the reason for doing Berachas Kohanim. So there is that. There was other stuff that I was going to mention, but I forgot what it was. It was earlier on, and you know, I thought I should talk about that, but now I don't remember.
So then we should be doing...
If we do it late, as far as I know, we should be doing it.
At Mincha and Yom Kippur. We do Mincha.
No, at Mincha and Yom Kippur we do not. And the Tosfos mentions that because that's earlier. It's going to be earlier in the day.
It's not really early in the day. It's the day you go straight to Mila.
But it's similar to other Minchas. It's similar to, we do it at Mila, not at Mincha. That's according to the Rabbi Yossi Takana. It's according to Rabbi Yossi's rationale. That's what the Gemara says. I really had something else.
We do at Mila that we normally do at Mincha. Things like Ashrei.
Yeah, we always have an issue at Neila about whether to do Berachas Kohanim or not. It's always Chaval. I know when I was in Yeshiva.
We did it.
We shouldn't have.
Yeah,
remember?
No, downstairs we didn't.
We did.
No.
Downstairs. Remember Ami running and calling.
Yes, but we did.
We
did.
We
did not. We did not. We did not. Russell came over to me and said, he says, are you going to do it? Because I need to know. Because if you are, then I have to get out of here because it's too late. And so I looked at the clock and I saw what he was talking about, and it was too late.
We planned to do it.
We planned to do it. Everybody told me we're going to do it. We're going to be fine. We have plenty of time, and then we didn't. I heard that upstairs they did do it, and it was too late. And it was too late.
2 years ago we had.
And Rabbi Veller wasn't there.
It wasn't there.
Yeah.
The youth. It was.
Yeah. Okay. Worse things have happened.
Yeah. Worse. Definitely worse.
But you know, there's a shame this year we'll be able to do it. Hopefully. Yeah, to plan a little bit. I was look, it's partly my fault. I spoke too long, but I was told you have plenty of time to talk, so I did.
The balance needs to know what time it needs to
start.
It's true. Look, when I was in yeshiva, I actually loved it. When I was in yeshiva, we would first of all, the minhag is you're supposed to even give up on the piyutim. You're supposed to like skip the piyutim in order to do it. That's and in yeshiva, when I was in yeshiva, that was before they changed the clocks, right? It was even earlier, which means you had even less time. I mean, very often we didn't even have a break between mincha and
Musaf.
Between Musaf and mincha.
Yeah. So in England,
And so when we got to Ne'ilah, it got to the point where we were rushing, and there was this frenzy, which I actually loved. I thought it was like the best feeling, like we would be running through the Slichos, which also has its other side benefits. but anyways, you go Hashem, Hashem, and you're trying to get it in, which is supposed to be the feeling of Ne'ilah. It's supposed to feel like this moment, which is fleeting. And you're trying to run after it. And our Rosh Hashiva had this whole metaphor, which I think I did a show once, about the train going away and you're trying to grab at it and everything. It's supposed to be the feeling of Ne'ilah, not like this slogging through, like, you know, one after the other. I loved it. I think it's the right thing to do, but I understand that some people, like, take their time. Some people have prepared and they want to do it right. I don't know. I miss that. That kind of frenzy at Ne'ilah.
So we just start 15 minutes.
Maybe I just won't talk, and then we'll be fine.
Any other card. You have to reach this stage by that time. This stage by that time. Two yellows, you're off.
No, we can start skipping piyutim. That's what we should be doing.
But if you practice the piyutim, that's the problem.
Yeah, should skip them.
It's a performance. It's the difference between a.
I need to talk
Russian
beforehand.
For a train
here,
and music
is kiddish.
No, nothing. So you got to give this shiur. 2 weeks before when
around
20
minutes
people.
See, the chat was with the who's selling us.
Selling.
Yeah, we'll print their fixtures, those slots.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I was thinking of telling
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's very hard to change a minhag on Yom Kippur. That's not
please,
easy.
Thanks.
I have to give a pretty dynamite reason or shear or whatever in order to change minhagim on Yom Narayim in any shul.
It's not minhagim, it's the performance.
Execution.
Performance
is a
minute. What's
that? Performance.
It's starting earlier. And,
okay, we'll stop there. I had something else that I wanted to say, but I can't remember what it was. So, another time. Shkayach. Shkayach. A little bit of preparing for.